As many of you are aware, for the past 2 weeks, our Sunday Gospel has been from Matthew chapter 25, the chapter of the end time parables. We've heard the story of the virgins with their oil and lamps. Last week, we saw the talents that were given and shared to the stewards. This week, as we arrive at the end of our church year, we arrive as well to the end of this 25th chapter, and we're given the last of the parables. And what stands out this week are the actions, what the people did or did not do with the time that they had on earth. And as sobering as that thought is, it's not the big story of the gospel. The big story is the recipient of the actions, the recipient of the omissions or the actions that were done. That's the big story. That's the turning point and the shock, the great scandal and surprise. The joy and the horror of this parable, that the recipient of the actions is Jesus. That's good news for those who were good to their neighbor. It's bad news to those that were not. But it is news for all of us to contemplate this weekend. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said that this parable is the five-finger gospel. You did it to me. When our church was reopened after the renovation, I wanted to make sure that we had those words above our poor box in the back of church. You did it to me. St. Paul knew the truth of this gospel. When our Lord Jesus appeared to him, remember what Jesus said. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Even though Paul was persecuting the church, the women and the children, even though Paul never met the person of Jesus Christ up to that point, Paul was persecuting Jesus Christ. Why are you persecuting me? Francis of Assisi with his generosity to the leper, Martin of Tours giving his cloak to the homeless person, knew this truth, the truth of the gospel. And Jesus himself taught it in various ways throughout the course of his life. As often as you and I have heard this, the literalism, the truth of this gospel is startling. It's big news. And this big news of God's being with, God's being united to each and every person, that we did it to him, that big news is going to require a big grace. It's going to require a big heart, a big change of vision and mind for us to embrace it. And thankfully, on this feast day of Christ the King, we are reminded of the bigness of God. We celebrate Christ, the King of the universe. That's pretty big. And that bigness of the whole universe, God's unity with each and everything in this universe, especially other persons, that's something to consider. We're reminded by John that all things were created in him and through him, and without him, nothing came to be. Such is our King. He's so big and great. And yet, in these readings and on this beautiful feast, we are reminded of just how intimate, just how particular God is. That He knows us with the intimacy of a shepherd, calling us by name, guiding us, rescuing us, saving us. There is in Jesus not just a closeness and unity with all things and all creatures, but an intimacy. And you and I are called to see it, to discover it, to know it. We are meant to desire and to seek the intimacy with Christ. And I would suggest it's only to the degree that we are intimate with Him and with others that we will ever be able to live this gospel well. The only way of seeing Christ in the other is for us to know that Christ has seen us. And responding to that grace, we can see Him in the other. How? Some very practical ways, three very practical points in our day-to-day. In our very loud and shouting world, let's listen. The lack of listening today to the other. So often we hear or we speak at or we shout over and we fail to really listen to the other. That's intimacy. To listen. It's obedience. To hear. How about loving respectfully? In our world, which is so pornographic, in our world where love is love, hogwash, can we love respectfully the person in front of us? Can we learn to be chaste, respecting the other, seeing the other? And finally, in our rich and affluent culture, can we learn to live simply? To have a poverty of heart, a poverty of mind that allows us to receive the other? My friends, these are ordinary ways of intimacy. These are ways in which we can grow in the recognition of God in the other. And how important that we do that. In obedience, in chastity, in poverty. Listening. Loving. And living. Simply. I just want to close with the words of Augustine. He had that beautiful prayer, "Late have I loved you, O beauty, ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me and I was outside." My friends, even in this last week of the liturgical year, it is not too late to love. And we are reminded how important that is. Let us, in this week of Thanksgiving, thank God for the love with which He has loved us. And realizing the greatness of this universal call, the King of the universe, loving us so intimately, maybe we can love better, intimately, Jesus around us. May the Lord help us in this task. May He assist us to do what his gospel calls us to do.